Okay, hey man, what's up, my brother? Hey, we on the conference call now, and I'm speaking to none other than the pioneer himself, and that's Dudley Fair. Of course, we call him Savoy Fair and a couple of other choice names, but this has been my brother since the beginning of my musical career. Hey man, what's up, partner?
How you doing, my brother? All right, just sitting here in Chicago, the Windy City, just cooling it.
Kill it though.
Yeah, the weather's kind of good here today. It's been kind of rainy, but overall,
Yeah.
today's a good day. Yes, man.
Man, I was
How
just
you been?
reminiscing about I was just reminiscing about how we all started back at Foster, man. And I hope the people understand that, man, we started from the beginning when we was going over to Foster School, singing in the back echo shower because we didn't have no studio, but there was a little reverb when we were singing doo-wops back then. That's how we started. Man, tell us how you liked, how was that experience for you, man?
Well, that experience for me was, well, awesome because the era that we came up at that time, and I think y'all had like one of the, well, besides our old school cats like Carlton Black and listening to them in the shower room first, and then y'all came behind them, and at that time, cats I was kind of kicking it. We didn't really have a group at that time, but eventually me and a couple other people got together. But that era was a good era. I mean, we that's where we got our that's where we got our stripes, right here in the
That's
shower
right.
room, brother, Yes,
Yeah, we
sir.
began to toil and toil all the vocal range, terrain, and learning what we were doing. Who were some of them people? Because I forget some of the names. I know Zinnerman was one of them, but who else?
Well, the people I had hooked up with was Zinnerman, James Zinnerman, Rita Strong, and Richard Lewis. We kind of got a little thing together, and we were trying to catch up with y'all, And then we got with then we added some musicians. The first one, Ralph Moore or Mojo.
Ah, Mojo.
Yeah, he was kicking it with us in the
Yes.
beginning, and then it just seemed like, well, after that, then we got introduced to the Regal Theater.
Right.
That was like going to college,
But what was the Regal Theater at? I mean, that was in, I forget, what street was that on back in
I think it was on
Chicago? What was it on?
47th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 47th and Cottage Grove or something like that. Yeah, the Regal Theater.
And the first person who really took me to the Regal to get my stripes was Fred Hunter.
Oh, Fred Hunter. Rest in peace, man. Fred was a great bass player, and he was a great musician, but he was a music person, and all through, I remember that. The two bass players that we interacted with during high school was Fred Hunter and Mojo, Ralph Moore.
So Fred introduced me to the Regal Theater, and we used to go down there on Sunday and hear the old school. I think Red Sanders was the orchestra leader down there at the Regal.
Red
And
Saunders, right.
yes, and after the movie went off, then the show started, and then seeing those acts at that time, the real deal, I mean,
Right.
the showmanship and the theatrics that they did on stage just kind of horned us in to what we had to do, if we was going
That's true.
to have fun in what we were doing,
Man, that Regal Theater was like a that was like a musical college for us. We saw all the artists back in Chicago, and then even the Motown and the group people would come from Detroit. They'd all come over to the Regal. But what the most funniest one that I've ever seen. This is an old school, man. This guy's a legend. I'm talking about Screaming Jay Hawkins when he came out that casket talking about I put a spell on you. Boy, niggas almost, people almost ran out of the theater.
That was
when he raised up in that coffin.
Yeah, that was real showmanship. That was, you know, that was part of it, you know. Show, besides the talent, you had to put on a show too. That's what had everybody's attention, you know. I think one of the, well, there were so many great acts, you know, when James Brown and the Fabulous Flames came through there and Motown Review. And I think there were so many I was just blessed to see. And, you know, we kind of emulated. When we got back home, we all emulated what they did on stage. I don't care if it was splits, back flips.
we had it going on, didn't we? Man?
Yeah.
You're right. And man, that was like a class, a training room to show us how to perform at the Regal, you know. And so we emulated, I guess, a lot of those acts in those groups, you know, back then.
Right.
And, you know, we was exposed to that.
Because I think when we got back home, I think the first, besides trying to harmonize and get our notes, was the splits. If you had to, like, work it to get the splits, you know, so everybody was come home and practicing doing the splits, being able to pop back up and get back to the microphone, you know. So that was a discipline that you saw that you had to master.
Man, let me bring up a group that we saw, and to illustrate that, some of the groups that we saw, this is way back when, like, what about groups like the Five Deutones, where they did Shake a Tail Feather and the Vibrations and all. Right, you're right. Those were the groups that were doing the splits and come back to the mic and all that. This is probably around the same time, or maybe even before the Temptations.
Well, I got to see, like I said, so many acts, but I got to see the Five Deutones on a show with the Temptations.
Ooh, I knew that was great.
Yeah, I think they came out first, and of course, just figuring stage, who was going to be the best on stage. So they had after Five Deutones came out, jumping over each other and hitting the splits and throwing them processors off their head and sweating. The Temptations came out with their steps and that microphone. Remember they? I think the Temptations was the first to come out with that four prong microphone on one stand.
That's right. It's like they had built it where they had one cylinder thing, but then the four mics came out and came out to each position, and they had built a special microphone for them four that was backgrounding and dancing like that, instead of just having four mic stands and then a fifth one for the lead. They had that one mic stand that had four different extensions coming out of it.
right. So that was like when they came out with that, everybody tripped about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, you know, the just that going to, like you said, the training ground at the Regal Theater, and then just, you know, everybody doing that era. We all wanted to sing. That was, you know, after just all the talented, you know, all the talent that was come out on the radio, from Smokey Robinson to the Dales to James Brown. We had so many different artists that we could try to emulate, you know.
Man, you know what? That's what, and I was just talking to somebody the other day, that's what makes us the pioneers of today. Because here it is, 2015, and there's not many of us left that have experienced that era. A lot of our artist friends have died, you know, from James Brown to Otis being the last original Temptation, you know, Marshall being the last original Shy Lights, and all those things. But we still got it going on, and man, to remember and to still be able to assimilate what happened at the Regal and do it now. I know you're doing that right now, man. What's going on with you right now?
Yeah, well, you know, I got like a group together now, seven pieces, called South Boulevard, and got a horn section, and I got old Willie Shields, man. Old Willie Shields, old school Willie Shields.
He's still hanging in there. That's right.
And got this other gentleman, Chris Disher. He lives out in the western suburbs, and the rest of the group is mainly from the Chicago area. And so we, you know, we doing old school stuff. We go from Wilson Pickett to Coco Taylor to James Brown to Stevie Ray Vaughan. So we do a cross-section of all different types of music. You know, and then we, you know, we break it down. We break it down and bring it back, you know. You know, we do some Otis. So we do all that little bit of that old school in our show, in our shows.
And people appreciate that old school from back there in the early 70s or whatever. That music is still much alive. And you know, I don't know about you, but you know, our greatest thrill, you know, together is when we did our singles and stuff, you know, for Capitol Records. And of course, we had experience too. And I must say, man, that you were one of the instrumental persons that helped put all that project together, because you was the one who introduced us to the different people, like the managers and Paul Guest. But tell us about that Capitol. That was a great experience for us, man.
I was lucky to have that contract with Capitol through Paul Gallus. It started out with me, Jerry Soto, Eric Collins, Tootie Bryson, Bobby Stringer on drums. And the night that we met Paul on the way home, we broke up because somebody went crazy that night. I can't remember who it was. But
it wasn't Big Fish because you didn't mention him. But Big Fish.
Well, you know, because knowing I had it, that's when I called. I said, well, I know two guys that are outstanding vocalists. So I called up you guys down in and told them, come on, man, I got this contract. Let's come home and work it. Y'all come home. Then I think y'all came home. Y'all came back. Y'all came in town, and we went over the contract. And then I went back to Carpenter with y'all. I can't remember what happened after we got back to Carpenter.
Well, I do remember that we drove down to Carbondale, Illinois, to SIU University. That's where we was going to school at, and I had this old station wagon called the War Wagon. We put all our equipment in there, and like went on the college tour.
Yes, sir. But then after that, I don't have to tell you. After that, we came back here. Mm-hmm. We obviously finished and came back here. And we developed a sound, and with your awesome writing of songs, you know, you, Larry, awesome vocalist, you,
right,
a new awesome writer, guitar player. So I knew the call, you know. So once we developed our sound, and then we went out to sell it. We went out to sell the sound that we had developed. And Paul
liked
it. And we completed the contract. And I think here in Evanston, there was only two groups that ever got on Capitol Records in this town was Patty Drew and us, you know.
And that's right, and Patty Drew had the famous song, Tell Him, If You Ever See, yeah.
And she was under the Capitol contract.
She sure was, right.
Yes, and we were too, so we were the two main people in this town who were lucky to be signed to a major label.
Exactly.
You know, so that was an experience. That's an experience I'll never forget, you know.
I'll never forget that. And just to back up for a minute, you know, you were the original soul experience, too, because you was, when I saw you, this is before, you were playing with the Soul Experience group, which was
right.
Now who were those guys? And then we evolved into what you developed.
Yeah, that was Ray Barge on drums. He was an outstanding drummer and vocalist. And
bless his heart. He rest in peace. Right?
He passed away, and we had a dynamic player named Bobby
mm-hmm.
Williams.
Oh, come on, man. Taught me some licks, what can I say?
Yes, dynamic vocalist and outstanding guitar player. And
mm-hmm.
Billy Fletcher was on bass.
Mm-hmm.
They called me up and asked me to work the project with them that they had already developed. And I came in, and we did. It was a heck of a group. We traveled a lot, did a lot of performing, and that was an experience. I know, you know, you and me and a few. Luckily, we performed. I was lucky to be able to be with some of the most talented people that this town kind of this town ever developed, you know, at different times. So that was good. That was good.
Well, you know what was good for me, man, is when we developed the New Experience 2, or however you want to call it.
Oh, yeah.
Me, you, and Larry were the vocalists. Man, we had some harmony, and we was tight. We could do the steps that we learned at the Regal and all that. Remember that?
and then, of course,
we'd make up steps. But be on Capitol Records, you know, I believe back in 1971 or 72, and coming out with a song that I wrote with About Time I Told You, that song is still alive today. And some of the people are gone now who was with us, you know, Eric Collins, he just rest in peace for this year. And, of course, Big Fish, Big Larry Fisher, you know, Bruce Brother, he's gone.
Yes.
And of course, Jerry Soto, my main man, my guitar buddy.
Yes,
me and Jerry
sir.
Played a lot of times together. We had a recording studio together, and Jerry is now rest in peace, too.
Yeah, right.
As
Jerry,
well.
Besides being an outstanding guitar player, he was outstanding organist, too.
Of course. Yes, keyboard. Yes, keyboard. Yes, he could play keyboards and guitar. Taught me a lot. We studied and played together and recorded together. And because I was recording, I went to the Columbia School of Broadcasting and, of course, SIUs, and I knew how to record. And he passed me the guitar knowledge. I passed him the recording knowledge. And one day I went over his house. He had a microphone on the back of his bedroom door recording.
Right. And
the demos that we did. Mm-hmm.
Right, and then when we were Capitol, you know,
mm-hmm.
you being such an outstanding writer, we
mm-hmm.
sang some of your best material. And,
oh, man.
And we had some awesome shows with our traveling. And from the Playboy Mansion to we went from the Playboy Mansion, and then we'd come home and play in the clubs that were here in town. And,
well, what was that famous club that we played here in town that everybody used to go to?
1623 Club.
Come on.
Yeah. We would come off the road reach up the road and go straight over there and turn it out, man, you know. And
that's right. That's right. We played them at Walkie Fest and a bunch of places around town, man.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So, you know, Hefner let us come to the hutch and did our thing. And so we experienced a lot in that in that short period of time, you know.
Well, and, let me ask you something. What was your greatest experience with Experience 2?
I think my greatest experience with us was when we performed with Curtis Mayfield.
Come on, man.
Come on.
Talk about it.
We were invited to the Regal Theater through Capitol to perform with Curtis. And that's when Curtis had a Superfly out. And his million seller Superfly. And we were the warm up act for Curtis, and we came out. You know, we was a little stiff that day. You know, we was with the superstar, and I remember I write up in the paper where the we did our first single there, besides some of the covers we did. But I remember in the write up, the writer said, They looked a little stiff for a minute, but when all of a sudden I heard this melody talking about time I told you.
Come on.
Yeah, shoot, after a couple of verses, they was on like popcorn.
On like popcorn. I remember that concert, and I think the Spinners was on the show too. Yeah, Purvis and the Spinners. It was us, the Spinners, and Curtis Mayfield. I think Gladys Knight was supposed to be there, but she had another engagement. She didn't show up. But it was us and Experience 2, and then the Spinners and Curtis Mayfield, man. And that was a great concert too as well, because it was all in the Sun Times paper.
Yeah, but you know, talking about. Just having great shows. Besides performing at the Regal, performing at the Aragon Ballroom, that was a master hall too, where a lot of musicians performed. When we came home live, we did some awesome shows here in this town after we came off the road at the 1623 Club. I think we still have some recordings of those shows, but, you know, it just showed our development and our precision when we came
out. Well, yes, we do have a CD out that, that I produced and put out on my label, on our label, Our West Records, Homeboy Music Company, Experience 2 live at the 1623 Club, and it highlighted some of the best performances that we did. Some of it's live and some of it is recorded. So it's like a mixture CD. And I would encourage anybody listening to this conference, if you want original music live back in the day, you go back and you get that Experience 2 live at the 1623 Club CD.
You
would be amazed. You'd be amazed, you know, from the introduction all the way until the end. We got the I know one of my favorite songs on there. You know which one I'm talking about. The song where we sang, what's that line? The blue shadows will fall all over town that you sang. Come on, man.
That was one of your master writings there. That was one of your master songs.
But no, that was Chuck Jackson, you know, the Any Day Now song. That was Chuck Jackson, but we covered it in a way that's never been covered.
Right, Any Day Now. Yeah, that's true. We developed that song and put our own flavor on it. Yes, that was an awesome development. Right. So tell me this. I know, you know, we talk off and on.
Yeah.
Doing something lately? Have you been doing anything lately? Or
Yeah, man, I'm glad you asked. I am doing something right now. I'm working on my new gospel CD called Never Gonna Stop Praising His Name. But let me just go back a little bit. The one song that we did, and we recorded it with Jerry at Jerry's studio and stuff, and you and I was on it, and it's one of the most popular songs of all time, gospel. I'm talking about Hard Fighting Soldier. When you hear that song, that's me and you on that song. You on the background, and I think Virgil chipped in a little bit of the two.
Yeah.
But Hard Fighting Soldier, you actually stepped in and really helped make that a big gospel song. And we've done concerts with it, and it's still alive today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was that project was great, man. That particular project that we did, doing some of your gospel stuff. That was a great project too that we decided to get together and do. Yeah. But it was, you know.
And it's not finished yet either though, Dudley. We're gonna continue to do more and more gospel. As soon as I get back to Chicago, it'll be on and cracking, you know that.
Oh yeah. But again, that project was outstanding. And like you said, even though it's not finished, we still, as they say, we still got work to do, brother.
We still going to be working in the vineyard. And a lot of people don't know how to work in this business. We've been in this business. We've been singing together for over 40 years. Okay, let me just say
that's true. That's true. And that's like what I was saying, all the people from, we go from the shower room, singing in the shower, in the field house. You know, when you and Bruce Fisher, Larry Fisher, Sam Jackson, who else was in that?
Ricky Giles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all those individuals, we all have just a good, and our friendship that has lasted for all these years too.
Man, that's incredible.
That's incredible.
Incredible friendship. You're right.
Yes. And I know the last time me and you was on stage, brother, here in this town, we drew one of the biggest crowds for these outdoor concerts that they've ever had. They had to block off over there on Simpson Street, man.
That's true. You brought the band over there and turned it out, man. You turned it out. You called me up on stage, and I think we did a couple of numbers together. And, man, when we did that, man, it's like time stopped, and everybody in town came to the park.
Yes. We that was just so great. Anytime you can be recognized by your home people, that's a blessing. That's a blessing in itself. So, me and you hit the stage like Sam and Dave,
That's right.
Yes. Steps.
Soul man. There you go.
Steps come natural. The ad-libs and the harmony just come right away. That's just been always great when me and you get together on stage. Yeah.
It's still there, man. We still got it. We're the last, like I said, the last of our generational recording artists during that era. There are still a few more of us left, but a lot of them have passed away. I mentioned some of the groups, that people have passed away with, from Dramatics to Shy Lights to whoever you want to mention. A lot of these people, Teddy Pendergrass, a lot of people are gone.
Oh.
So we got to keep representing what we're doing. And I appreciate you, man. You just amaze me, man. We've been resilient. And that's a word that we have to teach these young artists. You got to be resilient in this business in order to have longevity in this business.
Yeah,
Well,
I know, again, it was, that era that we come up under.
Mm-hmm.
You can go from the gospel side, from the Soul Stirrers all the way to the Rhythm and Blues, to the Temptations, to Smokey Robinson, up to we were blessed to come through that era of, of all that awesome talent. And again, of course, you had to try to emulate it. So So we try to keep that afloat and put that in our whatever we do. We put that little flavor in there, you know.
My greatest appreciation for your talent and is mm-hmm. the way you input as, you know, as me being a producer and writer, you were in charge of and you put into everybody's participation on how we must practice. And that is what makes a person be good in music or whatever you do. And not just practice, but you got to have perfect practice. And you taught us to don't waver, practice, and have perfect practice. And then when you go do the show, it'll be easy. And, man, we followed that concept that you created about that, and it's worked for me. It's still working today. You told people in the group, hey, if you want practice, get out of here.
Well, I know.
Get to stepping if you don't want to practice, because this is what we're going to do. Man, I had to commend you for that, Dudley.
I know that when we, again, going back, when we would go see those professional performers mm-hmm. back in the day, we knew that the only way that they perfected that they act was practice. And you have to do that. You as you grow up, you be in different things as you grow, and certain things you had to be consistent in rehearsing. That's how you try to become the best of whatever that you could be. So that was you had to jump in there, and you know, even in between that outside playing that we was doing, we had to come back and get back to the microphone, you know, and rehearse, you know.
Well, listen, man, you know, let's just end this conversation that we're doing right now. We'll talk again. This will be like volume one of our conference call, and I just want to let all the listeners know that, you know, I'm Cecil Homeboy with homeboymusic.net, president CEO, and I'm talking to my best friend and all my right. confidant, my brother singing, and that's Mr. Dudley Fair. Y'all can call him what you want to, but I call him my brother. He is Savoir Fair, if y'all know what
all
that
right,
means.
Now.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's good talking to you, my brother. Anytime me and you get into each other's company, it's always good and it's always a blessing, my brother. So I thank you. You know, I thank you too, Live. You have held it down too for so long, and with your talent, you have never wavered. So, but again, it's good to talk to you, my brother.
And out of all the people that we spoke about, you and I are still currently performing right now.
Yes,
I'm performing
yes,
with
yes.
my band here, and when I come
yes.
there, I'm performing with you, and vice versa, man. You stay up, stay blessed, and let God continue to enrich and nourish your talents and give you all the blessings that we have worked for over the years, man. I really appreciate that. Let's continue.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Peace out. And till we meet
all right. Peace out, man. I'll holler at you later.
Yes, sir. Easy.